Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. For the first time, a woman has been elected president of the European Commission. Ursula von der Leyen, former German defense minister, will play a key role in the U.S.-EU relations on issues like trade, G20 meetings, climate change, and the Iran deal. She's a multiculturalist and defends global trade, a position that could make for a strained relationship with President Donald Trump. Heather Conley is here with me to help explain who she is and what role she'll play for Europe. Heather is the director of the Europe Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Heather, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
So let's talk about what the EU Commission president actually does. How powerful is this role in the grand scheme of the EU?
Yeah, think of this position as being the CEO of a very complex, large organization. The CEO sets the tone and the tenor and the agenda, meets certainly with all the senior figures, as you mentioned, goes to the G20, the G7, but it is a large body that is run by other commissioners that have competencies in specific areas of the EU. So on a good day, it probably feels more like herding 28 cats, soon to be 27, when the UK leaves the European Union. So trying to make 28 countries move in the same direction at once, it's a tough job.
Now tell us who Ursula von der Leyen is, for those who may not be familiar with her, and how did she get this role? What was her trajectory?
Well, I think she was as surprised as we all were when we heard EU leaders sort of come out with this package, and I'm going to step back just very briefly for a second. What the EU was trying to do the last several years is create an EU-wide candidate. So the various political groupings in the European Union, so center-left or center-right or the Green Party, and there's a variety of them, they would put forward a lead candidate. And then when they'd have the parliament elections, the assumption is the party that won the most votes, their lead candidate would become the commission president. But because there was such fragmentation as a result of the European Parliament elections at the end of May, no one political party could cross the finish line with the majority. So there had to be this wrestling with a variety of different political parties. And so the lead candidates that were put forward, they all sort of knocked each other out. And then they had to come forward with this new slate of leaders. And that is how literally Ursula von der Leyen sort of popped up. So why she was selected, number one, I think, first and foremost, she was a woman. I think the EU did want to send a clear message on the importance of gender diversity, and this is certainly going to be a hallmark of her tenure. She does come from the party, the European People's Party, which is a center-right pan-European party. They did win the most votes in the European Parliament election, so it had to come from that political party. And I think, obviously, Germany, there hasn't been a German leader of the Commission for over 50 years. They are the leader of Europe, and I think it was a sign of giving Germany a strong role. It looked like it was a German-French agreement for this slate of candidates. And, of course, we know the EU doesn't work unless Paris and Berlin agree on the path forward.
Now, can you give us a sense of where her priorities might start when she steps into the role?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, her first day on the job, November the 1st, if the UK decides to leave the EU without a deal on October the 31st, her first day in office is going to be one big, powerful potential catastrophe. So Brexit is going to be really a key issue. And these internal dynamics, we have deep divisions within the EU on a variety of issues. And so really, she's going to be consumed internally, which is going to leave her less time to be more outwardly focused and engaged.
Heather, you mentioned Brexit. I want to dig a little deeper into that because Ursula von der Leyen was booed by Brexit supporters when she said she'd give more time for the UK to leave the EU, given that the UK right now is essentially deciding on its leader, and it looks pretty much like whoever ends up getting that position will support Brexit. How is she expected to deal with Brexit's aftermath?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, the word aftermath. I think what we're going to see as on July 23rd, we will have a new leader of the United Kingdom. We assume it will be former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. It has been clear that the UK now politically is positioning itself to leave on October the 31st. So really, the EU needs to prepare fully now for a no-deal Brexit. Ursula von der Leyen will not take over until November 1st, so the current European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and the current team are going to have to manage this between now and November the 1st. So I think it's going to be full-on preparing for a potential very disruptive event, certainly for the economy globally. And we will see if there is any wiggle room in the European Union position vis-a-vis the agreement that they negotiated with Theresa May, the withdrawal agreement. There is no sense, absolutely no sense, that the EU is going to budge on anything. And it sounds like the UK's position has hardened substantially. So, as I said, I think we are foaming the runways right now for a potential pretty catastrophic crash out.
When we look at the broader European Union, Brexit aside, what other challenges is she facing? What's the economic future of the EU? What are some of her priorities there?
I think the Eurozone, the 19 countries that are part of the European Monetary Union, they're looking at some very challenging times ahead. The German economy has been certainly softening. They're getting pulled into the ramifications of the ongoing U.S.-China trade war, as well as tariffs that have been imposed by the U.S. and counter-tariffs, counter-sanctions by the European Union. One of the most immediate questions could be Italy, one of the largest EU economies that has a 132% debt to GDP ratio and a very populist government that is willing to challenge the EU on its fiscal policies. So economics, absolutely. But I will say the European Union of the last year has been on an absolute terror, really negotiating free trade agreements from EU trade relationship with Canada, Japan, Australia, they're working on India. I mean, whereas the U.S. has really, really pulled away from the multilateral free trade agreements, the EU has plunged ahead. The issue on the U.S.-EU agenda is going to be, of course, China. China's infrastructure investment in the European Union is causing concern, but obviously more specifically in the telecommunications area, Huawei. China is deeply embedded in the European telecommunications system, and the U.S. is really demanding a choice, either, you know, rip it all out or, you know, we may have to distance ourselves from these countries, very specifically for those EU countries that are NATO countries, on intelligence sharing and things like that. So the China angle will become certainly much more acute. And then the question of whether we can negotiate a U.S.-EU free trade agreement. The U.S. insists that agriculture be part of that agreement. The EU is insisting that it's not. And we will see if anything can come out of this. I'm unsure that we'll be able to see anything in the near future.
Heather Conley is the director of the Europe Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Heather, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.